This week on the Read Well podcast, we're talking about reading slumps and why they occur. Now, sometimes, no matter how vested you are in your reading program, you might find yourself falling away from the reading habit because of external circumstance or internal motivation. Today, I'm going to give you, 7 different reasons as to why you might be experiencing a reading slump and how to overcome it. All right, let's get philosophical. Welcome to this week's episode of the Read Well podcast. My name is Eddie Hood, and I'm your host, where I believe it's more important to read well than to be well read. So grab your favorite book, open up your notes, and let's get ready to learn something fascinating. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Read Well podcast. My name is Eddie Hood, and I want to thank you for listening to this week's episode. I am focusing today on reading slumps because I saw recently on YouTube, Robin Waldron did a video on reading slumps. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. That's a good topic to actually address. And I wanted to add my conversation to it. He does a great job of talking about books and note-taking and thoughtful execution. And so I thought that his insights were great, but I wanted to add sort of our own twist here at the Read Well podcast. And so I'm going to be going over 7 different reasons why I have personally experienced reading slumps in my life. Yes, it is true. Even myself, who talks about books all of the time and reads constantly, I do find myself at times where I don't want to read or I just haven't read for a while. And I thought, well, why do I do that? Maybe you can identify with some of these experiences or constraints, and hopefully they will help you in overcoming the current slump you're in or a future slump you might find yourself in. Now, the first topic that I want to address today is something that we've talked about in the past on the show, but it is an important one. I believe that if you are not reading or you don't feel interested in reading, it's probably because you're reading the wrong books. You're simply in a set of books, or the last book you read was just so incredibly boring and didn't speak to your soul that you put it down and kind of got a bad taste in your mouth for all things bookish. This happens a lot. I mean, I am very curious by nature, and so I'll pick up random books and start reading them and think, oh, this is going to be great. And then I'll get in, and for some reason, it just sort of slows down the reading muscle in my brain and puts me to sleep. And then I just kind of want to do other things. So this is a very common response to books that are written poorly or that are not written for your interests or your curiosity. So if you are not finding pleasure in reading a book or a series of books, it's probably because you find them boring and it's time to set them down. I've talked about this in the past, my 50-page rule. Every book I have, once I'm 50 pages in, I always make the determination, is this book worth continuing to read? Sometimes the answer is no, I'll set it down without any sort of ill will or bad feeling, and I'll just move on to the next book. That is perfectly okay. So that is the first reason why you might be in a reading slump, is that you're reading the wrong kind of books. The second reason why you might be facing a reading slump is something I've been dealing with a lot lately. You know, I had to go to the dentist. It's not my dentist's fault that I have reading slumps, but it kind of is. I'm going to blame my dentist. Well, I had a cavity. And instead of filling that cavity, he felt it would be best to do a crown for that tooth. And I protested because I don't like anything having to do with drilling into my teeth, but he suggested it would be best, and so we went along with the procedure. Now, he is a fantastic dentist. However, the crown is sensitive. If you've ever had a crown, you know that for potentially a couple months, that tooth could remain sensitive. And it's in my upper jaw, and so that sort of sensitivity has radiated into my temple and in my forehead, and I've just been dealing with constant headaches. Now, as I read, I have found that either by looking at a book for long enough, because I look down when I read, right? I hold my book, and I'm looking down at it and flipping through the pages, or I'm sitting over a desk. That puts additional strain on the back of my neck, and that sort of begins to promote a new headache, and that in combination with the crown, I really end up having throbbing headaches. And I've never been one to suffer from headaches, but just that process of feeling pain when I read is enough to make me put the book down and want to do something else. I always have considered book stands to be somewhat unnecessary. I just thought, why would you want that? It's kind of a pain to put a book on your book stand, and then you have to like take the little metal arms off and move them out of the way if you want to turn the page. However, one of my best friends uses a book stand, and he made a comment in the private reading community that I run that he loves his book stand and that it helps him with reading fatigue. I thought, well, okay, I'll give it a shot. So I just bought one on Amazon, no special book stand required. It was like $9 or something. And I put it on my desk and I put my book in it, and all of a sudden I didn't have to hold my book and I wasn't looking down. I could set the book stand up at eye level, which is really great because now it takes the strain off of the back of my neck and I can look straight ahead, I can take my time, and I can read the page without physical stress. Shocker, I know, but the book stand actually works. It does remove the fatigue of reading. And so that has made my headaches go away. The crown is still there, throbbing. I get headaches from that. But at least I no longer have headaches from looking down at my book. The third reason why you might be finding yourself in a reading slump is that you are reading at the wrong time of day. I used to think that everybody should follow in Marcus Aurelius's footsteps, the great Roman emperor who wrote the book Meditations, a Stoic philosophy book. He wrote that, this is in book 5, I think it's the first entry, where he suggests that although he wants to stay in bed and sit under the warm covers, he always asks himself, is this really the purpose of my life, to lie under bed and be warm? And of course, the answer for him was no, get out and go do your work. So I've always considered that it's probably best for us to get up and get going early in the morning, tackle the day, make the most of it. Positivity, hurrah, here we go. However, I've learned lately that we're all wired differently. Some of us simply are night owls, and I think that's okay. I think it's fine if you work at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m, and that's where you do your best work and your best thinking. I'm not that way. I'm more like Marcus Aurelius, where I really need to capitalize on the hours from about 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. That is when I get my best work done. After that, I start to unwind a little bit. I think it's critical that we know ourselves well enough, physically and mentally, to know when our best working hours are. And if you're a serious reader and you want to tackle books that require you to think and they challenge the way you think, then you're going to need some good mental energy to do that. And if you've been trying to read these kinds of books outside of your sort of best window, you're going to feel heavy and sluggish about it. It's going to feel unnatural, and you'll probably put the book down in favor of watching a YouTube video, which is much easier to do. Feels like you're learning, but you're not nearly learning as much as you would with a challenging book. Now, some of you might push back here and say, hold on, I learn a ton from YouTube. In fact, I have a degree from YouTube University. Don't we all? But my argument here is that while YouTube videos are nice and you can learn things from them, it is a surface level of learning most of the time, because we're not really having to contend with that video and take notes and dissect it and think about it. It's presented usually in a simplified soundbite kind of way so that you'll be attracted to watching that video and then the next one and then the next one. There's nothing wrong with this, but it is a different style of learning and a different quality of learning compared to working with a challenging text. So yes, if you are wanting to read something that will really push you, I would suggest putting that book in that time frame when you are going to be at your mental apex. The fourth reason why you might be in a reading slump is simply because you're not managing your energy well. And this is something that I fall apart in, and I think we all fall apart in. And in fact, this sort of piggybacks on the last idea that you have a peak time of day where you're really cranking out good work. But depending on your sleep schedules and your diet and your relationships and your stress at work, you're gonna have an energy sort of roller coaster up and down all throughout the day. And if reading is truly important to you and you want to be better at it, you want to take great notes, you want to learn new things, you want to use this research in your work and in the things that you're going to build with your life, then you're going to need to time that reading in a moment where your energy is at a higher level than not. A lot of us see reading as sort of a relaxation exercise, something you do once you've earned it. And I want to push back on that. I think reading, at least the kind of reading that I promote, is not something that is just simply a passive experience, but it is more work. It is thoughtful note-taking. It is reading slowly. It is applying the ideas. And so you're going to be taking an active role in this book, which means you really need to be present. So yeah, know and sort of be really in tune with your body. And if you are just completely exhausted, it might be better to go to bed early tonight, get some rest, wake up, go for a walk outside, get some fresh air in your lungs, and then begin reading this incredible book. Hey everyone, I want to take just a quick second in the middle of this podcast to tell you about highlightish.com. Think of highlighting a book, but add ISH at the end. Highlightish.com is the tool that I use to make better book notes and to organize my writing. It's where I go to capture my favorite passages, annotate them, and then to turn that research into essays, blog posts, or research papers. If you're someone that wants to get more out of the books that you love and you want to turn that into great output, go to highlightish.com today. Thanks for listening, and let's get back to the show. I love the fifth reason for why we might be in reading slumps, because I have committed this atrocity several times in my life. That is that we often make our reading systems, our habits, our note-taking systems, our knowledge management systems, whatever you want to call them, far too complicated. Now, I advocated last week on the show that there is a framework you can follow to begin building your own knowledge management system, and it was the acronym DIRT, D-I-R-T, which we'll go over again in a minute here. But no matter what you build, whether it's a software tool to keep track of your notes and your reading and your research, or you have a notebook or whatever, we are often tempted to make that system very complicated because it feels like complicated texts and important knowledge should be kept in a highly efficient, highly processed system so that we can get access to that information later. When in fact, the opposite is true. The more complicated we make our note-taking system, our organizational system, the less we'll use it because that complication creates friction. I want you to think about what friction is. If you take, you know, a block of stone and you put it on a piece of concrete and you try to push it, that block of stone is not going to go anywhere. That's because of friction. And you can really push and push and push. It's going to take a lot of effort. You might move it an inch or so, depending on the weight of the stone, but you're really going to have to work at that. On the other hand, if you were to put a piece of ice on an ice skating rink, you could push that ice down the rink and it would just, without any effort at all, just move all the way across the rink. We want your note-taking system or your thinking system to be like the ice skating rink, where it is simple, it is repeatable, and it is easy to access, and that it doesn't take a lot of energy or effort on your part to add entries to it, to put notes in it, and so on. I have seen too many people quit reading, quit researching, because they are overwhelmed by how hard it is to keep their knowledge management system clean. We are cruising right along this week in the episode, and before we do, I want to thank each and every one of you for stopping in at Apple Podcasts and leaving a review for me. A couple weeks ago, I asked for help here because I had 18 reviews and it was going okay. I think we were at 4.5 stars at the time, and you have all responded beautifully and have taken the time out of your day to leave a review for the show. We're up to 32 reviews now, which has driven the rating up to 4.7 stars. And I just want to thank you. I don't know how else to say that other than I know it's not convenient to do, but thank you for doing that. And if you find value in this show and it's helping you in your own reading habits, please take the time to drop a note there on Apple Podcasts. Let me know how I'm doing and how I can make the show better for you. Thank you so much. All right, let's get into number six, the sixth reason why you might find yourself in a reading slump and why I have found myself in a reading slump is that you don't have your reading tools at hand. Some of you might be scratching your head here and go, what do you mean reading tools? All you need is a book. And while that is true, at the Read Well podcast, I teach that we should read slowly, take notes, and apply the ideas. It's that middle idea of taking notes that we get sort of hooked up on here. I am a big proponent of having what I call a reading kit. It's just a little gray bag that I carry with me. You can find access to this on my website at thereadwellpodcast.com if you'd like, under tools. But it's just a little bag I carry with me that has all my highlighters, pens, any 3x5 cards, a little dictionary, a thesaurus, and so on. So if I can't find that book, or if my highlighters are missing, or if the pens have all run out of ink or something, it creates, again, friction in my desire to want to read. And I think, oh my goodness, I would love to read this book today, but I don't want to come across an important passage because I can't notate it, I can't highlight it, I can't do my system. So I'm going to have to go maybe to the store and buy some more items before I can actually read. This is a smaller thing that is really not going to cause a reading slump, but it will pull you out of your reading habit for the day. And because of that, once you start to miss enough days consecutively, it becomes easier and easier to make the excuse that reading really isn't that important right now. You have other things you need to do. And besides, if you want to learn this topic, you can just watch a YouTube video. You don't need markers or highlighters for that. So this is the problem that I face, is this really sort of ticky-tacky logistical thing of, oh darn, I don't have my highlighters, I guess I can't read. I've heard this excuse from other people in the reading community, and I chuckle because I've done it myself. I just want to point it out, it probably won't go away because I really enjoy the process of annotating a book, and I really do feel like my left arm is missing, which, by the way, I'm left-handed, if I don't have these tools with me when I sit down at a book. This speaks to why I prefer reading at my desk in my reading room, because I can have all my tools there and I can really make this a study session so that I can absorb the information. If it's a book that doesn't require any kind of annotation, if I'm simply reading for pleasure, then sure, I can take that book with me to the grocery store, you know, to any event and read it without all of these tools, because that doesn't matter. But if I'm reading, for me, philosophy or psychology or something related to improvement of my life, I want to take the notes. So this is a problem. I don't know how to overcome it other than to have a big stash of highlighters and note-taking supplies on hand. The seventh and final idea as to why you might be facing a reading slump is that you have missed the first two steps in the framework I shared with you on last week's episode. Now, the framework is an acronym, D-I-R-T. It spells out the word DIRT. I know. I don't know why I named my learning system DIRT, but I just did. It's just how it came about. Sometimes things are just what they are, and I thought it was funny, so I stuck with it. But it is also a helpful reminder to learn new things because it's so absurd of an acronym. DIRT is, again, broken up into four parts. So D stands for decide. Now, if you are in a reading slump, again, you are probably skipping these first two steps or not taking them seriously enough. You have begun to learn something or read a book without deciding to actually learn from it. You've just started reading, right? Or you just took the lesson, or you just paid the money. It's really important that you stop before you crack the spine on a book and you ask yourself, do I want to actually learn this information? That's an important question to ask yourself because learning takes work. It's effort. Again, we're going to be taking notes and putting those ideas into your note-taking system. You're going to be applying them and learning these ideas in real time. So if you're going to actually spend time with this book, you need to make the mental decision, yes, I am going to learn this book or the concepts in this book. And the second letter in the acronym is I, which stands for internalize. And this is a two-step process, really, but you need to really internalize why this information is important to you. Because once you've decided to learn it, now you need to step back and say, why do I want to learn this? Why is it important to me and to the work I'm going to do? Once you can frame that and it really becomes personal to you, and I'll give you an example in just a moment, then you're going to be motivated to stick with it and apply the information. And also internalize means to bring it internally into your system, to take the note and to build a high quality note that you can rely on in the future. If we do a quick thought experiment here, let's say I give you $10,000. I know, it's a good day, Congratulations. And I also give with you, or with that money, a book. And that book promises to turn that money into $1 million in just 30 days. And the only catch is that you have to follow the instructions in that book exactly. You cannot deviate at all, because if you do, you will not only miss out on the $1 million, but you'll lose your $10,000. So I give you the money, I give you the book, and off you go. Now, my question to you is this for our thought experiment. Would you read that book differently than the last book that you read? Would you simply casually move through the items, scan the headers, and sort of get the gist of the book and what it's saying, and then go out and try to do some stuff? Or would you take it serious and dissect each page and build a note-taking system and figure out how the information links together so that you don't mess up the outcome? My guess is that you would approach the book in the latter. You would really dissect that book and take it seriously, because there is a benefit to doing so. If you apply the information in 30 days, you'll be a millionaire. That is the process of internalizing a piece of information. Before you decide to learn it, you really need to make it beneficial to you. How will I or my work benefit from learning this knowledge? Hey, before we wrap up this week, I want to invite you to head over to thereadwellpodcast.com to subscribe to my weekly newsletter. I launched this newsletter about 45 days ago, and it has already grown to over 1,300 subscribers, people who are interested in getting weekly recommendations on how to read deeply, as well as to get a book recommendation from me each week. And I will give you this week's book recommendation in just a moment. And yes, the book I recommend on the podcast is often different from what is recommended in the newsletter, so you're getting sort of a double whammy there. But if you are interested in getting that in your inbox each week, just go to thereadwellpodcast.com and then click on subscribe, and you'll be directed to where you can join that. Now, it is free, absolutely free. I don't charge for the newsletter. It is just a joy for me to write. It is written all by me. I don't use AI at all. And in fact, I really take that personal. I want to make sure that each word on that newsletter has some thought behind it and is related to our mantra, which is to read slowly, take notes, and apply the ideas. Now, for this week's book recommendation, this is something that I think many of you will find interesting, and it will be helpful to you as you begin to think about your reading system. We talked today about making it uncomplicated. And so I would like to suggest a book by Sonke Ahrens, S-O-N-K-E-A-H-R-E-N-S. And the book is titled How to Take Smart Notes. Now, a quick warning here. This book was written around the concept of a gentleman named Nicholas Luhmann, who was a writer that wrote prolifically on many, many subjects, and he created a note-taking system called the Zettelkasten. I'm not advocating for a Zettelkasten here. I think, in fact, a Zettelkasten is probably too complicated for most people's needs. And so I hesitate to recommend this book because it does talk about how to do the Zettelkasten, and it's great for that. If you want to learn the background and the basis behind that note-taking system, this is a really good introduction to that. And I say introduction because while he explains the process, he doesn't really give a lot of physical examples of the notes or how to do them. You kind of have to wander through this forest a little bit on your own, which is a good thing because you need to apply these concepts to your own notes and how you think. But the reason why I am recommending this book is because there are many gems in here related to helping you understand the value of taking notes and how to think about them. I'd like to read just one passage out of the book today to sort of set the stage, which hopefully will help you determine if this is worth your time to read. Aaron says, like breathing, it is vital to what we do, but because we do it constantly, it escapes our attention. But while even the best breathing technique would probably not make much of a difference to our writing, any improvement in the way we organize the everyday writing, how we take notes of what we encounter and what we do with them, will make all the difference for the moment we do face the blank page or screen. Or rather not, as those who take smart notes will never have the problem of a blank screen again. So if you are somebody who is interested in not only learning new things, but coming up with your own creative ideas, writing about them, sharing them with the world, then this is a good place to spend your time. This book is not long. It is, less than 150 pages, I think. It's about 150 pages. And it is well written, it is succinct, and it gets to the point. But it will definitely get you thinking about how you take notes. Again, How to Take Smart Notes by Sanka Ahrens. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode of the Read Well podcast. Again, thank you for listening. And if you found this episode helpful, please head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. Let me know how I'm doing and how I can make the show better for you. Until next week, as always, remember to read slowly, take notes, and apply the ideas. I'll see you all next week. If you'd like to take your reading to the next level, then head on over to our website at thereadwellpodcast.com. There you can get access to my weekly newsletter as well as up-to-date show information. Also, don't forget that I learned software development on the side just so that I could build a program to help us make better book notes as we read. If you're interested, go to highlightish.com. Think of highlighting a book, but add ish, I-S-H, at the end. highlightish.com. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you on the next show.